Let us turn in God's Word then to that portion of Scripture that Dr. Douglas read for us, Exodus chapter 33. But we pray briefly before we look at our text tonight. Let us call upon the Lord again. Our Father, we thank Thee for the meeting, the hearty singing, Thy presence. And now as we sit around Thy holy Word, give unto us understanding. Bless Thy people. Encourage their hearts and thrill their souls, but especially speak to the hearts of sinners, drawing them with Thine everlasting love into the embrace of that wonderful Saviour, Thy Son, Jesus Christ, our dear Lord, in whose name we pray and ask this. To Him be glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention tonight to Exodus chapter 33 and the verse 21. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Moses is hearing this word from God, and that place that the Lord is referring to ultimately is His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, of course, in the narrative and in the sacred history, it is a literal place on Sinai. There is a place there in Horeb. But ultimately, it's Christ. There's no place for sinners. There's not even a place for Moses without the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ made this place for him literally, and this He provides, and He provides it as a picture of Himself. He provides it as a type of Himself, a place for sinners. And that's our subject tonight, Christ, the place by God. Behold, there is a place by me, and that place is Christ. There are two things that I want to draw your attention to in the text. First of all, it is a place of nearness to God. Behold, there is a place by me. And then secondly, it is a place of security in God. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. This is the place you need. This is a place we all need tonight. This is a place that we need to be in. And this is a place that I want to speak to you upon. And may the Lord help us. It is, first of all, a place of nearness to God. It is, therefore, a place of wonder. That's why the Lord says, Behold! Behold this amazing thing! Behold, there is a place by me. This is a wondrous thing. This is the wonder of grace. Can it be true that there's a place by God for us? That there's a place by God for Moses? That there's a place by God for the sinner? Can it be true? Yes, it is true. It says in the text. How did John Newton put it? Amazing grace. And that's what this place is. Behold, it's amazing. It's a place of grace. It is preeminently that. A place of grace for sinners. A place we don't deserve. There are a couple of things that you must keep in mind about the context in which God says this. Dr. Douglas has already referred to that partially. It is a context of sin. But it is also a context of grace. In chapter 32, the chapter that we didn't read, Israel has sinned. In fact, it says several times, a great sin. There's a great sin in the previous chapter. Whenever Moses was in the mount, you remember he came down and they made gods and they people worshipped them, and Moses came down and saw the sight, and it was a great sin. And that word sin in chapter 32 occurs in one form or another 8 times. It's the preeminent thing in that chapter, sin. And so we read that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them. Moses said unto Aaron, you brought a great sin on the camp. And verse 30 of chapter 32, ye have sinned a great sin. And verse 31, Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin. And then verse 32, now if thou wilt forgive their sin. And so that's the context. There's great sin. And yet God says, be whole. There's a place by me still. There's a place by me. Remember also Moses in the context of what God has said. Because you remember whenever Moses came down from the mount, he was filled with anger, wasn't he? He was a meek and humble man, but yet on that occasion he was filled with anger and he broke the tables of law. He smashed them in his anger. And so we have to keep in context here. This is the lawbreaker. Moses is the lawbreaker. Moses is the man who sinned. Moses is the man who got angry and who sinned and because of it couldn't even go into the land of promise. And yet God says to him, for Moses, you lawbreaker, there's a place by me. A place by me, even for you, Moses. Behold, and why is there a place? And as I said, it's because of grace. And in chapter 33, that's the preeminent theme. It's a chapter of grace. And just as sin occurs frequently in verse 32, the word that occurs frequently in chapter 33 is the word grace. I think it occurs about 9 times in between chapter 33 and verse 9 of chapter 34. You have it there, for example, in verse 12. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Lord, you've told me about your grace. And verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight. And then verse 16, he says, wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? And then verse 17, Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. And then verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious. This is a prominent theme of chapter 33. This is why there's this place, because there's a God of grace, because he's gracious, and because the sinner finds grace in his sight. Great sin, chapter 32. Chapter 33, great grace. Behold, there is a place for the sinner by me. So it's a wonderful thing. It's an amazing thing that there can be a people who in themselves are nothing but sinners, and yet they can be, as the Bible says, near unto God. There's a place. It's a wondrous place. But it's also a place of God's provision. Behold, there is a place by me. Moses does not say, Lord, let me make a place. I'll build a place, Lord. No, God says there is a place by me. It's already there. God has prepared it. God has got it ready. God doesn't say to Moses, you have to build a place. If you want to be near to me, you're going to have to build a place, Moses. You're going to have to dig a place. You're going to have to get yourself a rock to stand on. No, there is a place by me. It's a place of God's provision. It's all done by God. Whenever he came down on the mount, he cleft the rock. And his glory came down and touched the place. This place was prepared. The rock was open. It was made ready. There's a place by me, and God prepared it himself by his power and glory in the upheavals of his descent upon the mount. Moses neither provided the place nor did he lay the rock, nor did he rend it asunder to form a cleft. It was all done by God when he came down. And he came down again many years later in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Love and grace sent the Redeemer. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and he made his Christ to be the provision. He made his Christ to be the place by him for sinners. And sinner, tonight, you need to know there's a place by God for you. But it's all of his provision. And it's all of grace. It's also a place of God's revelation, because it says, "And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me." He not only provides it, he announces it. He not only prepares it, he reveals it. The place is revealed by God, the Lord said. I don't think Moses would have found it. I don't think Moses would have said it, seen it. The Lord had to point it out. The Lord had to tell him. The word had to come to his mind. And the Lord had to open his eyes. And this place is announced by God in his holy word. That's what the Bible is all about. The Bible is all about the declaration of the place by God. A place to stand on. A place of reconciliation with the Most High. A place whereby we can fellowship with him. It's a revealed place. It's proclaimed. It's made plain. And the gospel has been sent out by him into all the world. The Lord is saying every day to sinners, "Behold, there is a place by me." And every minister of the gospel and all his ambassadors, they're all sent out and they are equipped by the Holy Spirit to tell the tidings of this place by him. What the Lord has said. It's a real place then, therefore, because God has said it and he cannot lie. God says there's a place for you. The devil says there's no place. The devil says you're too great a sinner. There's no place for you. You broke God's law. The devil would say there's no place for you. Or he might tell you, I've been a sinner such a long time. You've been in sin so long. There's no place for you. You've rejected Christ for many a year. You've gone on in your wicked ways. And the devil will say, there's no place. There's no place by God for you. But don't listen to the devil. The devil's a liar. Listen to what God says. There is a place. There is a place for you, sinner. No matter how dark in sin you have been, no matter how guilty you are before God, there's a place for you in Christ. So listen to God. Behold, this place stands alone. It's in the singular, you will observe. There's not places. There's not a choice. Christ alone brings us near to God. Only one place. And he has himself said it. I am the way. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And all the world needs to hear. There's just one way and there's just one place. And there's only one rock. And only one means of reconciliation. And only one person through whom that reconciliation can take place. Even Jesus Christ our Lord. Now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. A place near unto me, made nigh. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Only his blood. Only his person. Only his work. Only one place. Only one way. This is a wonderful description of Christ himself. A place by me. You know, the Son is so near unto God. He's so very near. What does the Bible say? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God too. Face to face. In the fellowship. In the Trinity. Face to face. Near. The Son near to the Father. He's the bosom Son. He's the express image of His person. He's the brightness of His glory. He's nearer than the light is to the Son itself. As the light is to the Son, so the Son is to the Father. One, yet two persons, near. He's called God's fellow, God's neighbor. Because we are neighbors, because we have the same nature, human nature. But the Son is His neighbor because He has the same nature, the undivided nature of the Godhead. He's near unto God, so near. And He came from God to come to us. And He left heaven to stoop down among us sinners. As mediator, He went back up again. As the God-man, He went back up to heaven in humanity. And in our flesh, in our nature, He's at the right hand of God. His humanity is at the right hand of God. Near unto the Father. Near, there's a place by me. What nearness you can have in Jesus Christ. You can be as near to God as Christ is near to Him by being in Him, accepted in the Beloved. How near Christ calls His people His brethren. They're in His family, sons of God in adoption, and therefore near to the Father, even as the everlasting Son is near unto Him. As the Bible says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And there's none so near to a Father as a Son. There's a place of nearness. And it's all through Christ. It's all in the Redeemer. And it's a roomy place too. A roomy place. What does it say? What does the Bible say? What does the psalmist say? That great Psalm 18. He brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me. He saved me. I was in a strait place. I was in bondage. I was in chains. But He brought me into a large place. A roomy space. Jesus Christ is spacious as well as gracious. Psalmist said in another place, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me, and He set me in a large place. Oh, there's a large place by God. Room for sinners. Room for more. What does it say in that parable? They went out to invite them in, and they came, and what did they say? Yet there is room. There's still more room. And there's a place by me. And there's room. There's room for you, sinner. There's room for you. It's a large place, Jesus Christ. Multitudes of sinners have entered into Him. And there's space for more. And many more will enter into Him. And He's still spacious and large, with His arms outstretched to a sinful, fallen world. A roomy place. It's an open place too. It's free of access. The Lord says, behold, there is a place by me. There are no obstacles in the way. There are no hindrances. Here it is, Moses. Here it is. Behold, here it is. There are no things in the way. And there are no hindrances in coming to Jesus Christ except your unbelief and what the devil might throw in your way. But God doesn't put any in the way. The place is open. The place is advertised. The place is highlighted. A place that's announced by gospel preachers every week and every day. Here it is, open, accessible, without money, without price. Here it is. Ho, everyone that passeth by, everyone that thirsteth, come. Come into the place. And so he freely advertises it, freely reveals it, and shows it. It's a place of nearness to God. But you'll notice also that the Lord adds something. Not just satisfied with saying there's a place by me, he has to add something more. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. It is therefore a place of security in God. A place of a solid foundation. And therefore is a very important word in the text. Tying the two things together. What the Lord wants the sinner to know about Jesus Christ. He's a place of nearness to God. But you would want to know that he's secure. Will he take my weight? Will I be safe in him? Will I be secure in him? Is he one that I can stand upon? Or will I sink? Will the weight of my sins be so great? Will I sink? No, there's a place here near to God. And there's a rock. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. You'll not sink. If you come to Jesus Christ, he that believeth on him will not be ashamed. He'll never let you down. He'll never be a disappointment. God is encouraging the sinner in. God is proclaiming the stability of his provision, the stability of his Christ, the solidness of the foundation ground upon which we poor sinners, with all the burden and weight of our sin, can yet stand. And God is comforting us and assuring us, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. He says, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. Christ is a sure foundation. You can believe on him. You can rest your everlasting soul on him. When you breathe your last on your deathbed, you can keep on trusting in Christ. There's no need to change your religion on your deathbed. We believed on him the day we were saved, and we'll continue to trust and believe on him until our dying breath. He's a sure foundation. The foundation of God, the Bible says, standeth sure. What saith the Holy Book? Both sure and steadfast. That's what this place is. Impregnable, unmovable, on Christ, as we sung, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Now the sinner will try to find other places, and many sinners have tried to find other places, but you know what they all turn out to be at the end of the day? Sinking sand. They're not solid at all. They're not sure at all. And the devil will set forth counterfeit places. He will set forth the place of spiritual exercises, the place of church membership and church attendance, the place of good works and ordinances, valuable as and important as all of these are, but they're not the foundation upon which you stand. Only Christ. Christ is all and in all. What does the Bible say? Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. Behold, there's a place by me. There's no other foundation. That is Jesus Christ, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. What did the poor psalmist say? In the dark, deep mire where he found himself, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. It was the miry clay. He brought me up and he set my feet upon a rock. Upon a rock, the same rock. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. What did Paul say? That rock that followed them. This rock is everywhere in the Old Testament, always following the people of God through the Scriptures. And Paul tells us that rock is Jesus Christ. And we believe it. The Lord says concerning that rock, enter in. You'll not be disappointed. He that believeth on him hath everlasting life. There's a hymn that goes like this. My God, I have found the thrice blessed ground, where life and where joy and true comfort abound. 'Tis found in the blood of him who once stood, my refuge and safety, my surety with God. He bore on the tree the sentence for me, and now both the surety and sinner are free. Accepted I am in the once offered lamb. It was God who himself had devised the plan. And though here below, mid sorrow and woe, my place is in heaven with Jesus, I know. And this I shall find, for such is his mind. He'll not be in glory and leave me behind. There's a place by me. And all that are in Christ are all by him and will be with him forever and ever and never be severed from his holy and blessed and glorious joyful presence. In him you can be as secure as he is. Christ is secure at the Father's right hand, and therefore the sinner standing in him is secure as well. Only enter in. You must come to him, sinner. You must stand on the ground of Christ Jesus, your dear Lord. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and reconciled to God through him. And so you need not be filled with fears, poor sinner. You need not be driven to despair by the devil. Thou shalt stand upon a rock, God says. Ah, you say, preacher, my sins are so vile. My heart is so stained. Only come. Only come. There's a place for you. And thou, even the great sinner, even the lawbreaker, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. You'll not be disappointed in coming to Christ. So look at that rock. Behold, you have to look and you have to come. Look at that rock and I, Christ. How solid, how firm, how glorious his person is and his work. A solid Savior. And you have free access by faith into this grace wherein believers stand. What protection and rest is there in Christ, this man, this place who has been made as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, this place as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land? What protection and rest and assurance is there for us, even though he has said, thou shalt stand upon a rock? Not satisfied with that, he adds more. What does it say in verse 22? And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock. There's the divine placement. I'll put thee in. It's true that we come to Christ. The sinner has to come to Christ. That's true. And must enter into Christ by faith and say, I need thee, Lord Jesus. I believe and trust in thee with my soul. And we come and we believe. And Moses must approach. And Moses must, as it were, come to the rock and, as it were, enter in. But God adds, I will put thee in. Our faith is weak at times. It's feeble. We're not even able to put ourselves into Christ. God must do it himself. And as we come in feeble faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus, he puts us in. Puts us in Christ. He's the one that does that. He's the only one who can do that. In Christ. He puts a sinner in Christ in eternity past. And in time when the sinner believes, he joins him to the Redeemer. He has provided the Savior, and he puts us into the Savior. Have you come? If you've come, have you believed? He's put you in. You're safe. You're in Christ. He says, I'll put you in. I will. And if he puts you in, he'll never drive you out. If he puts you in, he'll never let you perish. If he puts you in, he'll keep you safe. In to stay. What did the Lord Jesus say? I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. They'll not be plucked out. The Father's put us in. They'll not be taken out. He's put us in. He will keep the feet of his saints. He will secure their standing in Jesus Christ. They are preserved, the Bible says, forever. Forever and ever. And they that put their trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which shall never be removed, which can never be shifted, but abideth forever. And as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people now, yes, tonight, and also forever. The child of God is in Christ, and his life is hid with Christ. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory, having been kept safe and secure all the while in Christ. There's security because the Father puts us in. It's the security of a cleft rock. I will put thee in a cleft of the rock. Not only on the rock, thou shalt stand on the rock, but there's more to it than that. I'll put you in. I'll put you into the cleft of the rock. So you're standing on the rock in the solid ground, but yet you're tucked away in there into the cleft, into the hiding place. That deep inner security in Jesus Christ, that wonderful protection, it is the protection, men and women, of a crucified Savior, the one who died for us, the one who secured his people by his blood. The cleft, this cleft on Sinai, was caused by a great upheaval. It wasn't naturally there, but when God came down, there must have been a great upheaval, and there was a cleft in the rock, and there was a place made by God. The terrible storm and the terrible earthquake must have opened it up, and God in his majesty prepared that place, and he made it a foretaste of the next great mountain in his redemptive history, the Mount Calvary. On Mount Sinai, there's a cleft rock, but it's only a picture, it's only a foreshadow, it's only a foretaste of the great reality at Calvary. Whenever in the darkness of Golgotha and in the storms of divine majesty around a sin-bearing Savior, a place was made for us sinners in the sufferings and death of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. Our Savior was cleft. He was cleft for us. He was a smitten rock. He was rent asunder. He was pierced. And there came out blood and water. And so we sing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed. Be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. O poor helpless sinner, in all your vileness and in all our sinfulness, this is the only place that we can find. This is the only place there is. And how secure it is. Jesus Christ crucified. That's why Paul says, and all gospel preachers says, we preach Christ. But we preach him, the cleft one, the crucified one, the one who was open in the sacrifice of Calvary. And so look to Christ crucified. Just say, poor sinner, I will make him mine. For he calls you to do that, to come and to believe in him. So enter in. Enter in to Christ, who was opened for you by the nails, and by the scourge, and by the thorns, and by the spear, but also by the sword of divine justice against our sins as he bears them upon the tree. This is all our salvation. And then you'll notice, lastly, in the security, it is also added, and will cover thee with my hand. There is Christ. There is the place. There is the cleft rock he puts us in. But there's also the covering of the Father's hand, covering us and shutting us in. Just as the Noah's Ark, as he shut them in, he shut them in and covered them with his hand from the storms of divine wrath that they had to sail through. And so the Father does that, the Father's hand. I think the Lord Jesus must have referred to this when he said, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. But then he adds, my Father, give them me. He put them, as it were, in me. He is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And to them there is an italics. No man's able to pluck out of my Father's hand. And so he includes himself. Himself and his people, they're in his hand. But his Son, his Christ, is in the Father's hand, closing us all in together. I tell you this, that's a place of security. No man's able to pluck out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. There's a lovely verse in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 12. It says, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long. All the day long. He shall dwell between his shoulders. That's a wonderful place. To be covered all the day long and to be dwelling in the heart of Jesus Christ. There's no place like it. And that place is open for you to come, sinner. Come. What a place he is. Complete in him, near to God, an everlasting salvation in Jesus Christ. Behold then this place and enter in. Doesn't God himself say in Isaiah chapter 2 verse 10, enter into the rock. Enter in, sinner. That's God's word to you tonight. You've been outside too long. You've been on the broad road to destruction too long. The wrath of God abides upon you. And God says, enter in. Enter in and hide thee. Hide thee in Christ. Enter in today Enter in without delay. Enter in now. Come therefore, ye sinner, poor and needy. Come and welcome to Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, bless the word. Encourage and uplift the hearts of thy people by the everlasting gospel, but also work in sinners. Put thy fear in their hearts and drive them to Christ. And may they flee to him and find the welcome that there is in such a Savior. To him be all glory and all praise for his holy name's sake. Amen.